Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It's the kind of experience that shakes your foundation. A life spent believing in the tangible, the real, the things we can see and touch. And then something happens. Something that makes you question everything you thought you knew. The man you're about to hear from has lived a life of rationality and skepticism. He never thought ghosts walked among us, nor did he ever consider that a deceased loved one might return from the beyond to make contact. He believed in the soul, yes, and in God, but that was the extent of it. There was no room in his world for things that go bump in the night, until one night, when the very fabric of reality seemed to unravel before his eyes. What do you do when the line between dreams and reality blurs so much that you can't tell where one ends and the other begins? Is it just a vivid dream or something else? Can you trust your own senses when what you experience defies all logic and reason? The answers, if there are any, may be as mysterious as the events themselves. Let's get to the letter they write. I would like to make my position on ghosts and spirits clear before I tell my story. I have never believed that ghosts or spirits can exist in physical form. I don't believe in the ghostly joggers on the side of the freeway at night, or the evil spirit that lives in your attic that makes sounds, or the poltergeist that throws kitchen utensils all over the place and makes a mess of your house. Before I had the experience I'm about to share with you, I did not believe in ghosts at all. My views have changed. I do believe in the Holy Spirit and the teachings of Christianity, however. I do believe that we each have a soul, and that when we die, that soul goes on to another realm. I would hate to think that death is the end of it all. I've had many dreams in my life, but only two of them seem different than all the others. Both of these dreams, I believe, would classify as waking dreams. The second of these, I'm not totally sure, was a dream at all. First, I would like to talk about the first one. I believe a waking dream to be a dream that happens when you are somewhat conscious. These dreams involve seeing your surroundings with partially open eyes and a partially awake mind, sometimes referred to as dream paralysis. You cannot move or respond to these surroundings in any way, but you are aware of them, almost always. There is something about these dreams, as with all dreams, that is not consistent with reality, something strange that makes the dream a dream and not a true perception. This waking dream, I have no doubt, was, in fact, just a dream. I was asleep in my bed at my grandparents' house, laying on my back, facing the double closet that my grandfather used to store his church clothes. The dream started when I became aware that my grandfather had just walked in to get his clothes out of the closet. My surroundings were as they really were. Then my grandfather took his Sunday coat out of the closet and tossed it on my bed at my feet. This is where the dream took a nightmarish turn. When my grandfather turned away from the closet, he did not have his coat in his hand. He had an axe. My mind did not see him simply toss his coat on the bed. Instead, my mind saw him swing the axe at my legs. I tried to sit up and move out of the way and scream, but my body would not respond. As soon as the axe came down, I awoke. This was a classic waking dream. I saw my surroundings as they were in real life, but something happened in those surroundings to give my mind something to work with to create the dream. However, in the second waking dream, there was no stimulus. My mom died 4 years before I saw her in the second dream. At least I think and hope it was just a dream. Again, in this dream, my surroundings were exactly as they were in real life. When I go to sleep each night, I always shut my bedroom door. There is a street light that shines in my window that slightly lights up my room. This is why I could see my surroundings. The dream started when I heard someone crack open the door and call my name. My eyes were still closed, and I opened them briefly and closed them again. I thought I was waking from a dream. Then I heard my name again. Now I was fully awake, or at least thought I was, and turned over to see who was at the door. I couldn't really see who it was, but in that moment I realized it was my mom's voice. I froze. She said my name once more and opened the door. She stood there in a white nightgown, looking at me. and did not say anything else. Then she suddenly turned, let out a blood-curdling scream, ran through the room, and disappeared through the wall. I started screaming at the top of my lungs, waking my wife, who sat up asking me what was wrong. This time I was able to react in the dream. I was not paralyzed, and I did not recognize the transition from dream to reality. I'm still not sure what this means. I can't even be sure that this was, in fact, a dream. Logic tells me that it must have been, but it was so unlike any other dream I've ever had because I can't remember transitioning or waking from it. I was sitting up when she disappeared through the wall, and I was screaming. My wife woke up while I was still screaming. A moment after she vanished, there was no transition. The door to my room was open, and everything that happened from the moment I first thought I heard my name to me being held by my wife and then telling her what happened was smooth, real. The goosebumps, the tears, the feeling of overwhelming fright was too real. This is the only experience I've had that even comes close to being paranormal. I don't know if this kind of contact is normal or usual. I would like some kind of feedback. Has anyone ever heard of this kind of thing before? Has anyone ever heard of dead family members making contact like this? Has anyone ever heard of dreams transitioning to reality in this way? Seamlessly? The experience with my mother was like nothing I'd ever encountered before, and I don't say that lightly. I've had my share of vivid dreams and strange occurrences, but what happened that night felt different. Far beyond anything I could chalk up to mere imagination or sleep disturbances. After that night, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. My mind kept going back to the incident, replaying the scene over and over. I knew I should have been relieved. It was just a dream after all, right? But my body didn't feel that way. I felt unsettled, as if something invisible was watching me. The house felt different, too. There were small things that didn't make sense, objects in places I didn't remember putting them, a sudden chill in the air, lights flickering without explanation. But the worst part was the feeling of being watched. It was as though my every movement was being scrutinized by eyes that weren't there. My wife noticed it too. She said I looked like I hadn't been sleeping well. I tried to brush it off. But every time I looked into the shadows of our home, I felt like I wasn't alone. A few weeks passed, and I began to notice something even more unsettling. Every time I walked into the room where my wife had been sleeping, the air felt heavy, as if it were charged with some kind of unseen energy. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's the only way I can describe it. Sometimes, when I looked at the space where my wife's side of the bed was, I swore I saw a shadow pass by out of the corner of my eye, but when I turned my head, it was always gone. I mentioned it to her a few times, but she just dismissed it. I didn't blame her. Who would want to entertain such irrational thoughts? I could barely bring myself to say them out loud. Then it happened again. Another night, another moment where I couldn't tell if I was awake or still dreaming. I was lying in bed trying to sleep when I heard it again, the voice. Soft at first, like a whisper in the dark, I thought it was just my mind playing tricks, but then the voice called my name again, louder this time. "Come here," it said. It was my mother's voice. I felt my heart race, and I froze, but I didn't dare move. This wasn't the same as the last time when I thought I had woken up and my mom appeared. This was different. It felt more like a command, as if I had no choice but to listen. I didn't get out of bed. I should have, but I couldn't. My body wouldn't respond, and in the distance, just beyond the shadows of the room, I thought I saw a figure. I couldn't make out its features, but it felt as though it were standing right there, watching me. The feeling was overwhelming. I felt suffocated by it, like I couldn't breathe. But before I could do anything, the voice came again, this time much closer. "I need you to listen." It was my mother, but something was wrong. Her voice wasn't gentle anymore. It was sharp, commanding, almost frantic. I turned my head toward the sound, and there she was. Not in the doorway like before, but standing at the foot of the bed, her eyes locked on mine. I didn't scream this time. Instead, I just stared, too terrified to look away. Her figure was hazy, like smoke, flickering in and out of focus. The white nightgown was still the same, but she wasn't smiling anymore. There was nothing in her expression except urgency, desperation, even. "Get up!" she demanded. "Now!" I couldn't move. My entire body felt paralyzed, as though something was holding me down. The room seemed to close in around me, and the air turned cold. I could feel the temperature drop, could see my breath in the air, but all I could do was stare at her, at this shadow of her. And then she was gone. Just like that. No sound, no movement, nothing. As though she had never been there at all. I sat up in bed, heart racing, trying to make sense of what had just happened. I was awake now, for sure. I felt the bed beneath me, the cool air around me. But the fear was real. It was so real that I could feel it deep in my chest. I called out to my wife, who immediately woke up and asked what was wrong. I couldn't even explain it. I didn't know what had happened, and I didn't know what to believe. But the weight of the experience was undeniable. The next few days were a blur. I couldn't concentrate at work. I couldn't sleep at night. Every time I closed my eyes, I was haunted by the image of my mother's figure standing in the doorway. And now every time I woke up, I felt a strange presence lingering around me. I would hear my name whispered in the dark, sometimes even feel a cold hand brush against my arm. But when I looked, no one was there. The house, my home, no longer felt like mine. It felt as if something was holding on to it, keeping me trapped in a reality I didn't understand. I don't know how to explain any of this. My mind tells me it's all in my head, that I'm just grieving, or that I'm imagining things. But the fear, this overwhelming, bone-chilling fear, doesn't lie. Something is happening. Something is trying to get my attention, and I don't know what it wants. I don't know how much longer I can take this. Well, folks, we've just heard a deeply unsettling account of one man's experiences that seem to challenge the very nature of reality. What do you make of it? A skeptic turned into someone questioning the line between the living and the dead. It's not an easy thing to reconcile, especially when what's happening doesn't fit neatly into any of the categories we've come to expect. The man we've heard from clearly struggles with his own understanding of what's real. He tries to reason through the experiences, pointing to dreams and sleep paralysis as possible explanations. But even his own logic betrays him, as the feelings of fear and terror he describes feel far too vivid and real to be dismissed as just that, an overactive imagination. So what's left to consider? Psychologically speaking, it's possible that grief is playing a role in all of this. The loss of a loved one, especially a mother, can leave an indelible mark on the mind. It's not uncommon for those who grieve to experience what's known as grief hallucinations, where they sense or even see their deceased loved ones. These episodes can feel intensely real, especially in the early stages of mourning, as the mind struggles to reconcile the absence with the presence of the person who was once there. The brain, in its fragile state, might give form to the void, creating a fleeting sense of reality in the process. But as anyone who's experienced true grief can attest, that feeling of something lingering, whether it's an echo of the past or something deeper, often doesn't disappear. They evolved into something more disturbing. The sense of being watched, the whispers, the cold hand brushing his arm, it all intensifies the fear. And while his mind may be playing tricks on him, there's a part of him that still wonders, could this be something more? Could these events actually be the result of something otherworldly, something the living can't explain? We can't ignore the potential for something paranormal. There are countless stories of people experiencing strange phenomena that science can't fully explain, things that seem to defy logic. Could this be one of those cases, a return from the afterlife, a warning perhaps from the other side? Or is it the psychological scars left by loss manifesting in a way that's both terrifying and unexplainable? We may never know. The experiences in this story are far from clear-cut, but one thing is certain. Whether it's grief, the paranormal, or something else entirely, the line between the living and the dead remains one of the most haunting mysteries of all. Something is trying to get his attention. And no matter how hard he tries to dismiss it, the fear, the presence, continues to linger. Whatever it is, it's not easily ignored. The question remains, what does it want, and why does it keep coming back? That's a question that may never be answered. Thanks for listening.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.